Welcome to the Old Time Radio Hour. I'm Justine Ward, your host, and this week we continue our look back at Richard Diamond, Private Detective. The show found a sponsor in 1950, and the two shows we are presenting this week were sponsored by Rexall Drugs. This is Richard Diamond, Private Detective, in the Fixed Fight Case, first broadcast August 2nd, 1950 on NBC.
Listen while the makers of Rexall drug products and 10,000 independent Rexall family druggists bring you Dick Powell as Richard Diamond, Private Detective.
This is your Rexall family druggist speaking to you for the 10,000 independent druggists who have made the word Rexall part of our own store names and who recommend and sell the 2,000 or more drug products made by the Rexall Drug Company, like Rexall MI-31, for example, Rexall's popular and versatile mouthwash, gargle, and breath deodorant. Full-strength MI-31 kills contacted germs almost instantly, yet will not harm the delicate membranes of the mouth and throat. Ask for Rexall MI-31 at Rexall drugstores everywhere. And remember, you can depend on any drug product that bears the name Rexall.
Good health to all from Rexall. Now your Rexall family druggist brings you another exciting half hour with Richard Diamond, Private Detective, starring Dick Powell.
I'm a detective agency. When it's murder or less and you're caught in a mess, if you can't pay my fee, my advice is confess.
Rick, you old son of a gun. This is Frank.
Frank? Oh, Frank Bowers?
Yeah. Oh, it's good to talk to you again, Rick. How you been?
Well, no complaints, Frank. What's with you?
Doing great, Rick. Just great. Bought me a half interest in a gym here in town.
Yeah? Sell all your fighters?
Oh, but one. Boy by the name of Max Farmer. Say, he's going to the main event tonight. You want to catch him?
Well, all depends. Who's throwing him?
No, Rick, no. This boy's really good. Say, why don't you drop by the arena tonight?
Oh, sorry, Frank. I got a date, and she hates the sight of blood.
Talk her into it, boy. I'll leave a couple of passes for you at the gate.
Passes?
Yeah, sure.
Well, I'm a sucker for a good argument. See you tonight, Frank. That night, I led Helen to our seats at ringside. She was dressed to kill, and from the look on her face, I thought I might be the first on her list.
Rick.
Yes, baby?
Would you mind telling the man behind me to stop dripping mustard on my mink?
Oh, sure, honey. Hey, Buster. Please do not feed the animals. That's the good boy.
Rick, why of all places the fights?
But, honey, these are $10 seats.
Hey, Ricky, glad you could use the passes.
Boing.
Move your feet, Rockefeller, and let the man in.
Oh, gee, it's good to see you again, Rick. Say, I want you to meet Lorna Thorne.
Wow. Hanging onto Frank's arm, I saw why boys like girls. She was wearing slightly more than the fighters. Had so many curves, I got seasick just looking at her. As I stared, I suddenly felt a strange sensation in my legs. Helen was digging her heel into my shin.
Come up for air, Ricky, dear.
Hmm? Honey, I want you to meet Frank Bowers.
Sally, I know you anywhere. Rick's told me a lot about you.
Frank. Yeah? That was 5 years ago. This is Helen.
Oops. My mistake, huh? Lorna, I want you to meet Helen.
Hiya.
Well, when in Rome... Hiya.
What a spot for a thesaurus.
Hey, sit over there, will you, honey? I want to sit next to Rick. Oh, Rick, it's a shame I didn't tip you to this fight earlier. You could have put some dough on my boy and really cleaned up.
You think he'll win, huh?
Yeah, I know he'll win. He's fighting Lou Scott, strictly a bum from upstate. The syndicate made the match just to build up Farmer's name and pick up some easy dough on the side.
Now he tells me.
There's my boy getting in the ring now.
I watched Max Farmer climb through the rope, stop, smile at the television cameras, then at the crowd, and then at the cameras again. If the people at home thought they were seeing a reissue of The Hairy Ape, then television had improved. Because that's exactly how Max looked.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is your main event. 10 rounds of boxing. In the white corner, wearing black trunks, weighing 175, and hailing from Buffalo, Lou Scott! And in the black corner, wearing purple trunks, weighing 179, and right from our own New York City, Max Farmer!
The boys met in the center of the ring, received some fatherly advice from the referee, shook gloves, and went back to their corners.
Okay, Max! Okay, now, boy, give it to him! Come on, get him, son, get him!
Well, Frank was right. It certainly was a pushover. 2 minutes later, the fight was 7 counts from being over. Only it wasn't Lou Scott who was fast asleep on the canvas. The sleeping beauty was Frank's boy, Max Farmer.
Max! Max, get up! Max, please, six, come on!
Seven!
Max!
Eight.
Max, get up!
Nine!
Get up, you bum!
Ten!
Oh.
Don't you teach your fighters to duck, Frank?
Oh, I don't understand it. It's all wrong, Rick.
Rick, how can that man sleep up there with all this noise?
Oh, Helen.
Just call me Sal. Now can we go home?
Sure, baby.
Rick, stick around, though, will you? I may have a job for you.
Oh?
Yeah. Look, I'm going down to the dressing room. Meet me there in 10 minutes. Come on, Lorna.
From the look on Frank's face, I could tell he was worried. So I took Helen outside and put her in a cab. She was a good sport about going home alone, though. Didn't say a word. Not even goodbye. Then I went back inside and made my way to Farmer's dressing room.
Come on, come on.
Inside, I could hear Frank's angry voice.
All right, so you won't tell me who. But she ain't going to get away with this, Max. I'll find out, and when I do, you'll be back there.
Frank!
I'll be right out, Rick. And remember this, you bum. We're through, see? Through!
Hello, Rick.
Aren't you a little tough on the guy just for losing a fight?
Farmer lost that fight before he ever got into the ring. It was fixed.
Well, that's strong talk, Frank. Got anything to back it up?
Look, I know this boy. I trained him myself. He could have won tonight's fight with his eyes shut. Somebody paid him to take a dive.
Maybe it was his own idea.
Max don't get ideas. He's too dumb. Whew. Rick, I want you to find out who is behind this fix.
Well, you make it sound simple. Got any leads?
Maybe. Drop by the gym the first thing in the morning and we'll start from there.
First thing next morning, I went down to Frank's gym. They say the early bird gets the worm, and I guess it's true. For standing right inside the door was none other than Sergeant Otis, Riot and Joy of the 5th Precinct. Pardon me, but aren't you Jack Dempsey?
No, my name is... Oh, Diamond, you here?
Very observant, Otis. You're improving. Learned to blow a whistle yet?
Oh, why do I always have to run into you?
Aren't you afraid to be out without your keeper? Where's Walt?
Frank, what are you doing here?
Oh, hi, Walt. Hi. Well, I've got a client here. What's your excuse?
Routine check on a suicide. Guy by the name of Frank Bowers leaped from the Brooklyn Bridge.
What? Frank Bowers?
Yeah, know him?
Yeah. Walt, are you sure about this?
It's open and shut. 3 witnesses saw him do it. We pulled his body out of the river this morning.
Oh, I can't believe it. Frank had no reason to kill himself. Come on. I was with him all last evening.
That's a good reason.
Shut up, Otis. Sorry, Rick, but these things happen.
No, not to guys like Frank. He was no quitter. You sure about those witnesses?
They're ordinary citizens, Rick. We took their statements this morning.
That still sounds phony, Walt.
Look, Rick, I know it's hard to believe a friend would take the easy way out, but in this case, it's a fact.
Walt, Frank was a good friend. And before I believe he killed himself, someone's got to convince me.
All right. Otis, drive Diamond out to those witnesses' homes. I'll walk back to the office.
Oh, Lieutenant, why do you always pick on me?
Fate, Otis. Don't fight it. It's bigger than us. Come on. Otis drove like a madman, which was strictly in character. The first witness, a butcher named Henry Burton, was at work. But the butcher's wife, a typical homemaker, gave us her version of Frank's death.
And just like I told the police, off went the overcoat and over he went. Oh, it was awful.
The woman trembled, Otis gloated, and I grabbed my hat. Her husband worked at a nearby market, and their stories checked. That took care of the first two witnesses. Then we drove to the home of Bill Voss, the third and final witness.
Well, I was coming home from a late movie, and I started across the Manhattan approach to the bridge. This guy, Bowers, was about 10 yards in front of me. It was foggy, and I couldn't see him very well. But I could make him out when he stopped. He threw off his topcoat, climbed the guardrail, and dived in. I yelled, but it was too late. I'm the one who called the police.
The story's all checked, but I still wasn't convinced. So I had Otis drop me off at Frank's gym. If Frank did kill himself, then there had to be a reason. I decided to check on Frank's partner, one Ben Lamb. I found him in his office.
It's too bad about Frank.
Lamb, what about the business here? Any trouble that might explain why Frank did it?
No, everything's running smoothly here. Of course, it was last night's fights, but... that's out of the question.
Well, then maybe it's an answer. Keep talking.
Well, the syndicate is looking for whoever fixed last night's fight. They play kind of rough when they're mad, and... Well, maybe Frank was afraid of what they might do to him. Huh?
You mean he'd kill himself just to save them a bullet? Yeah, that's false economy.
Yeah, it's just the thought. Forget it.
I have. But I take it you think Frank was behind the fix.
I didn't say that. The farmer couldn't plant it himself. He's too dumb.
And Frank was too smart.
I said it. It's just a thought.
That you may be partly right. Maybe Frank's death does have something to do with last night's fight. Is Max Farmer around?
I saw him outside earlier.
Thanks.
Now, Mr. Diamond, might I ask what makes you so interested in Frank's suicide?
Was it suicide, Mr. Lamb?
Well, wasn't it suicide?
I ask you first. See you around, Lamb.
Before we continue with the adventures of Richard Diamond, private detective, here's your Rexall family druggist.
Last week, a customer told me that...
Something I really like about Rexall Milk of Magnesia is that one bottle won't be so thick I can't even pour it, and the next one thin and watery. Somehow, Rexall Milk of Magnesia always seems to be just right.
Well, ma'am, that's because every bottle of Rexall Milk of Magnesia has to meet an exacting standard of viscosity, or it won't wear the Rexall label.
What do you mean by viscosity?
Well, an easy definition would be the degree of thickness in a liquid. Now, Rexall scientists conduct scientifically precise tests on every batch of Rexall Milk of Magnesia to make sure it meets this constant standard of viscosity, because that's one big reason why you'll always get a uniform dosage from every bottle.
Oh, and I thought it was all just an accident.
Oh, no, ma'am. There are no accidents behind the fact. You can always depend on any drug product that bears the name Rexall.
And now back to tonight's adventure with Richard Diamond, private detective, starring Dick Powell.
I stood in the center of Frank's gymnasium, certain that Frank's supposed suicide had something to do with last night's fight. But how? That was the jackpot question. In one corner of the gym, I saw Max Farmer hitting a punching bag with a methodical, monotonous rhythm. I walked over to him. Max?
Yeah.
My name is Diamond.
Yeah.
I was a friend of Frank Bowers.
Huh?
Well, if you can spare any more words, I'd like to ask you a question.
Look, if it's about last night, forget it, see? I don't know nothing about nothing.
No argument there, but I came to see you about boxing.
Huh? I don't get you.
Well, Frank always said you were one of the best, and I thought you could give me a few pointers.
Oh, you a fighter?
No. I just like to show off at the Y. You know how it is.
Oh, sure. Well, you get some trunks from the shower boy, and we'll go a few. You can learn plenty from me.
Good, Max. That's just what I'm hoping to learn. Plenty. The shower boys gave me a pair of gloves and purple trunks. I felt like a self-conscious tulip as I entered the ring, but Max seemed quite impressed.
Hey, you got a pretty good build.
I also go steady. You all set?
Yeah, I'm ready. Put them up. No, not above your head.
Max, we come from different environments.
Okay, let's go. Hey, you're not bad.
Just lucky. Hey, wait till I tell my friends that I box with the Max Farmer.
Yeah, They like that, huh?
Like it? I'll be a hero. After all, Max, you've never lost a fight. I forgot last night. Sorry.
Oh, don't think nothing about that fight. I'll be up there again. You'll see.
Oh, no doubt. Hey, wait a minute. Wait, let's take a break. I'm winded.
Okay.
You know, you fighters have a lot of perseverance.
Huh? Yeah, that's what we got, all right, what you said.
I guess good athletes are just born, huh? Not made.
Buddy, that's the truth. You know, I've been in sports since grade school.
Still at it?
What, sports?
Skip it. I bet you were good even then, Max.
Oh, boy, was I. I played football in high school. Made All-State.
Weren't always a boxer, huh?
No, I've done everything. Hey, tell me. What's the greatest exhibition of sports in the world? Go on now, go on, think.
Shriners Convention?
Shriners? Nah. The Olympics. And I was in them, too. Would have won, but Marshall Wayne beat me on points.
My. Would I have a lot to tell my friends. You know, there's just one other fighter I'd like to brag about sparring with. That's Lou Scott.
What? That Scott's a bum. I could whip him with my eyes shut.
Oh? I heard that's how you lost.
Look, forget about last night. That fight was...
Go on, Max.
I had a headache last night, that's all. Now I gotta take a shower. See you around.
It was the first time I'd ever gone fishing in a boxing ring. I was hoping to find out who was behind the fix. That might throw some light on Frank's death. But to coin an old phrase, the big one got away. Next on my list was the girl Frank was with at the fight, Lorna Thorne. She danced at the Silver Circle, a small nightclub not far from the gym. I went backstage, climbed the iron stairs, and found her room.
Just a sec. Well, Mr. Diamond.
Hello, Miss Thorne.
Sit down. Care for a drink?
It all depends. Are we drowning our sorrow or celebrating?
I don't get you.
Well, you don't seem too upset about Frank.
Oh, that. I'm not the type to cry, honey. Ruins mascara. Oh, don't get me wrong. I liked Frank. Liked him a lot, but we were both in it just for the laughs.
Mm-hmm. Tommy, did Frank come up here after he left the arena?
Yeah. He came up and we talked till it was time for my number. He left about midnight.
Did he seem upset?
Now that you mention it, he did.
Lorna, how well do you know Ben Lamb?
Only seen him around. Why?
Well, Lamb thinks Frank might have been behind the fixed fight.
Could be. He sure was nervous.
I see. You and Lamb didn't compare stories by any chance?
I told you, I've only seen him around.
Uh-huh. Hey, this is a nice mink coat. Been saving unemployment checks?
I'm a working gal, remember?
Oh, come now, honey. You don't earn enough here to buy this kind of coat.
I'm a bookie on the side.
Pedersen's Furriers on the label. That's real Richie, kid.
Thanks. Now I gotta change.
Okay.
Well, don't run off. I'll only be a minute.
Some other time, honey.
Suit yourself. I'll be around.
I'll bet you will. I went back to my office, locked the door, put my oxbloods up on my dusty desk and tried to think. There was no logical motive for suicide, but there was plenty for murder. Lamb would inherit Frank's half of the business. Farmer might have been afraid Frank would blackball him with other managers. And Lorna was the type who would do anything for a fast buck. But then there was that constant headache, the three witnesses. My thoughts were all jumbled up. I kept trying to remember everything that had been said today. I kept hearing voices in a jumbled sequence.
Yeah, the syndicate plays rough. Frank may have been afraid.
Well, I've been in sports since grade school.
It's an open and shut case, Rick.
You're a hard man to convince, Shamus.
Then over he went. Oh, it was awful.
Frank behind it? Yeah, it was only a thought, damn it.
I'm not the type to cry, honey. It ruins mascara.
Then he climbed the rail and dived in.
Got a 1-2 and then Marshall Wayne beat me on points.
Climbed the rail and dived in.
Marshall Wayne beat me. Marshall Wayne. Wayne!
Then he dived in. Dived in. Dived. Dived.
I had it. I knew how Frank was killed. Hello?
Mr. Diamond, this is Francis.
It was Helen's butler calling to invite me to dinner that evening.
He said something about Helen expecting me, but I wasn't listening. I kept hearing that witness say Frank dived in. It was the answer to the whole thing.
Mr. Diamond, sir, are you listening?
Francis, if you were going to commit suicide...
I beg your pardon, sir.
Look, if you were going to kill yourself from the Brooklyn Bridge, what would you do?
Oh, dear, I'd reconsider.
No, Francis. If you really were, would you jump or would you dive?
Why, I'd probably jump, sir. Yes, I'm sure I would.
Well, of course. It's a natural thing to do. See you later, Francis. The pieces began to fall into place. I remembered something Max Farmer had said earlier. Marshall Wayne had beaten him on points. Marshall Wayne. I had associated that name with boxing, but now... I checked in the sports almanac. Listed under the 36 Olympics, I found Marshall Wayne won the high diving competition that year. And Max had competed with him. Now I was certain. First, I put in a call to Feddersen's Furriers for some information. So far, so good. Then I called Walt and told him to meet me at the gym. It was closing time when I got there, and most of the fighters were leaving. But I caught sight of Max Farmer as he made his way out of the showers. How's the water, Max?
Huh? Diamond.
What's the matter? You don't look happy to see me.
What are you doing here?
The boys at the Y, remember? I came for some more pointers.
It's closing time.
Oh, that's too bad. That's the only reason you don't want to spend some time with me, huh?
Yeah.
You're not too tired?
Me? I'm never tired. It's just closing up, that's all.
Well, Max, old pal, I've got good news for you. I fixed it with Lamb for me to lock up when we're finished.
Huh? Well, I...
Not scared by any chance.
Me scared of you? Why? Get some trunks. You'll see who's scared.
I wondered if my Blue Cross plan was still in effect as I changed clothes and followed Max out of the ring in the middle of the deserted gymnasium. Max had an ugly scowl on his face, and I knew that this time he would pull no punches.
Ouch.
Hey, playing rough, eh, pal?
You've got a lousy guard. That's all.
Hi. You act nervous. Tired of boxing? Maybe you'd rather be swimming, huh? Oops, sorry. Now your guard is down. Of course, a born athlete like you would be happy doing anything in the way of sports, I suppose. Maybe even diving. Your guard, pal, your guard.
You don't make sense.
No, I think so. Your mind's wandering, Max. Keep your guard up. You know, for a real sport, like, say, high diving... There's really no place around here to practice. Unless, of course, you tried the Brooklyn Bridge. I'll bet a really good diver could make it from the Manhattan Approach without a scratch.
Now, listen, what's the...
The guard, Samson. Better watch it.
Hold it a minute. What's the big idea?
Well, the big idea came when I figured out how three witnesses could see a suicide that wasn't a suicide.
You're loony.
Am I? Those witnesses didn't see Frank because he was already in the river. You'd pushed him in. You waited for some people to show up, and then you dived in.
No.
Yes, Max, yes. But you weren't alone in this. Someone had to talk you into taking a dive in the fight in a different kind later on. You'd have thrown the fight for any man's money, but you'd only risk your neck for a particular species. Female. Men are funny that way.
It ain't true.
Max, Lorna confessed an hour ago.
What? I'll kill you for this.
That's your third and final dive, Max.
That's a nice right cross, Rick.
Oh, I seen better.
The little boy's in blue. About time. Walt, when Joe Palooka here wakes up, I think he'll confess. He believes the girl already did.
Yeah, so I heard. Rick, how did you figure her in this mess?
Well, like most females, she couldn't wait for a mink coat. According to Feddersen's Furrier, she bought an expensive coat the day after the fight. Paid cash for it.
These amateur criminals.
Yeah, someone had to be the brains behind Max's action, so I put two and two together and got two. Max and Lorna.
Yeah. Otis, go pick up Lorna Thorne. Well, stop fixing your tie and move.
Oh, let him alone, Walt. First date he's had in years.
Huh?
Rick.
Well, honey, honey, what is it?
Do you have to play so loud?
Well, I can't help it, baby. It's the brute in me.
Mm-hmm. And that shiner, darling. What happened? Client or doorknob?
Young lady, I have been boxing. Just call me Kid Diamond, please.
Oh, no. Boxing. You?
Well, why not?
It's so strenuous.
Well, I'm in fair shape.
What do you use for muscles?
You just put up your dukes and I'll show you.
All righty. Now get up and sing.
I'm young and healthy, and you've got charm. It'd really be a sin not to have you in my arms. I'm young and healthy, and so you. When the moon is in the sky, tell me what am I to do? If I could hate you, I'd keep away. But that ain't my nature. I'm full of vitamin A. I'm young and healthy, so let's be bold. In a year or two or three, maybe we will be too old. If I could hate you, I'd keep away. But that ain't my nature. I'm full of vitamin A. Ooh, I'm young and healthy, so let's be bold. In a year or two or three, maybe we will be too old.
Rick, I'm sorry I hit you so hard, but you're such a show-off.
Now, look, honey, you got the wrong idea about this whole...
Begging your pardon, Mr. Diamond, sir, but I just wanted to tell you that I've changed my mind. I would dive off the bridge.
What, Francis?
You see, I've always been afraid to dive, and, well, it would be fun just at once.
Oh, no.
Again, here's your Rexall family druggist.
Whenever you have a headache, remember this about Rexall aspirin. When taken with water, the 5 full grains of pure aspirin in every Rexall tablet are ready to go to work for you even before they reach your stomach. So whenever you have a headache, remember that about Rexall aspirin. Ask for it at Rexall drugstores everywhere. And remember always, you can depend on any drug product that bears the name Rexall.
Good health to all from Rexall. Richard Diamond, Private Detective, stars Dick Powell in the title role and is written by Richard Carr and Marvin Marks with music composed and conducted by Frank Wirth. Featured in tonight's cast were Virginia Gregg, Ted DeCorsia, Wilms Herbert, Dee Tatum, Wally Mayer, Howard McNear, Hi Aberback, and Jay Novello. Richard Diamond, Private Detective, is produced and directed by Jaime Del Valle. This is Bill Forman inviting you to be with us next Wednesday at this time when we will again bring you Dick Powell as Richard Diamond, Private Detective.
Hiya, beautiful.
Get lost, Bristlepuss. You need a shave.
But I have shaved. What else do you want me to do?
Silly boy, she wants you to go Stag.
Go Stag? But why?
Because Stag is Rexall's exclusive line of men's good grooming aids, like Stag Brushless Shave Cream. No fuss, no massage, just smooth it on and presto, you get a clean, close shave. Your face stays smooth and whiskerless all day long.
I'll go Stag.
That's it. Join the Stag line now at Rexall drugstores everywhere.
Yes, to make girls care. Go Stag.
This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.
Yeah.
You're listening to the Old Time Radio Hour, broadcast weekly over Podbean and iTunes. I'm Justine Ward, your host. Next, we have another of Richard Diamond's sleuthing and singing exploits. Enjoy Richard Diamond, Private Detective, The Martha Campbell Kidnap Case. First broadcast, July 26th, 1950, on NBC.
Listen while the makers of Rexall drug products and 10,000 independent Rexall family druggists bring you Dick Powell as Richard Diamond, Private Detective.
This is your Rexall family druggist, welcoming you for the 10,000 independent druggists who have made the word Rexall part of our own store names. We've done that because we believe in the 2,000 or more drug products made by the Rexall Drug Company and confidently recommend them to our customers. A good example is Plenamins, Rexall's famous multivitamin capsules. Handy, economical Plenamins give you more than your daily minimum requirement of every vitamin for which such requirements have been established, plus valuable liver concentrate and iron. Ask for Plenamins at Rexall drug stores everywhere. And remember, you can depend on any drug product that bears the name Rexall.
Good health to all from Rexall. Now your Rexall family druggist brings you a half hour with Richard Diamond, Private Detective, starring Dick Powell.
Diamond Detective Agency, guard against throat scratch, enjoys smoother strangling.
Oh, that's terrible.
Yeah, I'm disgusting.
No, only when you're too busy to stop by and see me.
Well, I was just going to call you, Helen, baby.
Oh, I'll bet.
Cross my heart. Hope to lose my skate key.
You mean New York's gift to the detective world was really thinking about rural me?
Rural you is a mighty interesting subject for rural me to think about.
Well, why don't you stop being so spiritual and give your thoughts the benefit of some action?
And just what exactly do you suggest? Spend the bottle? Post office? A romantic ride through Central Park in a hansom?
Yes.
How'd you like to go to the theater tomorrow night?
Inside, or are we going to stand out in front and get a between-acts description from the usher?
I only made you do that once, and from all reports, it was a pretty bad play.
What's the one we're seeing?
Very bad, but I was given 2 tickets.
I refuse to sit in the back of the balcony again. I keep getting the bend.
Oh, fourth row center.
Must be a bad choice.
I got a couple of friends working at it. Going to close in 2 days.
Mr. Diamond?
Hold it, Helen. People are running in.
My name is Diana Campbell.
Client?
Well,
Rick?
It was hard to say. That's a wonderful thought. I'll see you tonight.
I'll bet it's an attractive girl.
You win, hands down. Bye. Now, Miss Campbell, what can I do for you?
Mr. Diamond, you've got to help me. Something terrible has happened. I don't know if I'm doing the right thing by coming here, but I had to do something.
I'm sorry, Miss Campbell. Now, if you'll put the symptoms in alphabetical order.
You must promise not to go to the police after I've told you.
Oh, one of those.
It's for her sake, not mine.
Whose sake?
Promise me first.
I promise to say goodbye if I'm not interested.
Mr. Diamond, my aunt is Mrs. Martha Campbell. You've probably heard of her.
Martha Campbell? Oh, isn't she the old gal who sells all that silver to Fort Knox?
Yes, that's right. Martha Campbell is my aunt.
Well, goody for you.
She's been kidnapped.
Why didn't you go to the police?
Oh, no, we can't do that. They threatened to kill her. I received the ransom note early this morning. They want $50,000 left at a location in Central Park tonight.
Why'd you come see me?
My fiancé, Ira Stewart, has offered to deliver the ransom.
Oh, I see. You're afraid that Ira might try to get his name in the papers and wind up under obituaries, is that it?
Yes, I'm afraid. He has a gun permit, and... Well, I've never seen a man get as furious as Ira did when this happened. I want you to go with him and see that he comes back safely.
Yeah, but tell me, why is this Ira so concerned over Aunt Martha's welfare?
Well, you don't understand. Ira loves Aunt Martha as much as I do. And now that he's practically part of the family, will you go with Ira and see that he does nothing foolish?
No, the truth is, the whole thing is a little foolish. Miss Campbell, If you told all this to the police, they'd reserve a few cells in Sing Sing, and the rest would be routine.
I'm not interested in the money or catching the kidnappers, Mr. Diamond. Can't you understand? I just want Ira and my aunt safe and alive.
I'm sort of shy around people who aren't interested in money. In fact, when she dropped five new $100 bills on my desk, I positively blushed. She briefed me. I was to be at her aunt's home by midnight, ready to squire Ira Stewart around Central Park. Then she explained exactly where the payoff was to be made. Of course, I had to promise all over again not to tell the police. I promised. Diana Campbell left, but her perfume lingered on. I could have sat around and let that odor drive me to a cheap neurosis, but there were things to do. And the first thing I did was to break my promise to Diane. Well, well, well. If it isn't Sergeant Otis, and I'd be happy if it wasn't. Otis, wake up, Sergeant. Up with the buttercups. It's 3 o'clock in the afternoon.
Hello, Shamus.
Otis, you'd make a hibernating bear look like an insomnia victim.
Well, I'm tired. I've been working hard.
I guess you got a right to be tired. If I had to drag those 2 feet of yours around all day, I'd have a nervous breakdown.
No.
Hiya, fatty.
Who's dead?
Well, there's been a nasty rumor going around about your sergeant.
No, stop clowning. It's too hot. What's on your mind?
No. Well, it's not your department. I need somebody I can trust. Kidnapping. Martha Campbell.
The Martha Campbell?
Yep. She's been snatched, and the retail price is $50,000. The old dame's niece hired me to take care of her boyfriend when he makes the payoff tonight.
Where?
Central Park, 2 a.m. Come as you are.
Otis.
Yeah, Lieutenant.
Bring me a map of Central Park. Get Lieutenant Davis. Tell him I want every detective available tonight. Prepare a special message to all units of...
Hey, wait a minute.
Prepare a special message to all units of...
Hey, wait a minute. What should I do first?
Resign, Melonhead. Get that map.
Walt and I went to work on the map. We circled the payoff area and set up watch points for an army of plainclothesmen. Nobody going into the area before 2 a.m. would be stopped. But anybody coming out after that time was going to need a good story. It looked great on paper, but Walt was sadder than a Scotchman being held up. If anything went wrong and the news broke, the kidnapping of a woman with Mrs. Campbell's prestige would really upset the commissioner. I left Walt, taxied over to Park Avenue in time to have half of Helen's dinner, spent the rest of the time before midnight with her, and then left to keep my date at the Greystone Mansion on the west side.
Oh, Mr. Diamond, I'm glad you're here. Come right in. My fiancé's in the study.
What did he say about my coming over here?
I haven't told him yet. I thought it might be better if...
Well, don't you ever do anything the easy way?
Ira, I'd like to have you meet Mr. Diamond.
What? Oh. Diane, tonight of all nights to have a guest over. Mr. Diamond, I'm very glad to meet you, but... Well, you'll have to go now. I'm sorry. Ira Stewart was a blonde, well-built young guy in loose brown tweeds. He seemed to have trouble finding a place for his hands, and I half got the idea he'd like to try my jaw.
Ira, Mr. Diamond is here to help us.
What?
I hired him to go with you tonight. He's a private detective.
Even my best friends don't know. Glad to meet you, Mr. Stewart.
Diane, have you gone mad? Do you know what would happen to Aunt Martha if those men found
out? Oh, relax, Stewart. Nothing's going to happen to anyone unless you force me to make an exception.
Diamond,
Ira, please, darling. I couldn't stand the thought of you going to see those men alone. We didn't know how many there are or what they might do.
I've got all the protection I need right here in my pocket.
Famous last words. Look, Buffalo Bill, I'll give you a clue. The kind of guys you got a date with tonight don't take 10 paces before the turn and shoot. You could be buried in that suit, gun and all.
Now, look here, Diana.
It's getting late. I'd better get the money.
We followed Diane up a winding staircase and into Mrs. Campbell's bedroom. This little nook was somewhat smaller than Grand Central Station, with an acre of bed in the middle. The bed had talent, because all Diane had to do was push a little button, and it slid about a yard away from the wall and exposed the neatest little wall safe this side of the First National Bank. Diane fingered the combination, and a minute later, I found out whose picture is on a $1,000 bill. There were 50 prints.
Here, Diane, put the money in this bag.
It's 1:30, Stuart.
I'm ready.
Ira, please be careful. Please, both of you.
Glad I made the team. Let's go. Central Park by moonlight. Bad night to be stag.
Well, we're almost there. I'll have to park here. Must be among that clump of trees up ahead.
No, keep close, Stuart. And don't get any ideas about shooting anybody. It might turn out to be me, and I'd squeal on you. We both went into a crouch and edged forward. There was a small clearing between the trees, which the moon had turned into a silver pancake. I might have enjoyed it, except that Stuart was as nervous as an old maid looking at a calendar.
Did you hear anything?
Oh, sounds like a revolution in the insect world. You stay here. I'll go through this hedge and have a look.
Maybe I'd better come with you.
No. You stay here.
Diamond!
Ooh! Something caught me hard and neat behind the ear, and I jackknifed into a face full of Mother Earth. Don't let anyone tell you it's nice to get away from things for a while. I didn't like it a bit. I was far, far away. I don't know how long my beauty nap lasted, but the first thing I felt was an elevator starting around my heels and roaring up. When it burst through the top of my head, I awoke. For the next few minutes, I felt like my head was a ball and the rest of me was a drunken seal trying to keep it balanced. Then I saw Stuart, stretched out the way I had been. The copycat. He was bleeding from what was going to be a nasty scar on his forehead. A hunk of pipe was lying nearby. I went to work on him. All right, Stuart. Rise and shine. Oh, come on. You're just not used to it. I make it a point to have my head cracked at least once a week.
What happened?
Last one out talks first. That's you.
Yeah. Now I remember. There were two of them. One started for you and I yelled.
Check.
Then I heard one of them say, "Get him, Bob." And then you were shaking me.
Diamond. The bag.
The money's gone.
So it was. It was time to give Walt part of my headache. Stuart and I stumbled back to the car. There was someone in the front seat. I pulled the door open and found myself face to face with the kidnapped Mrs. Martha Campbell. She was dead.
Before we continue with the adventures of Richard Diamond, private detective, here's your Rexall family druggist.
There are two important facts I'd like you listeners to remember about Rexall aspirin. First, each Rexall aspirin tablet contains 5 full grains of pure aspirin. And second, there's no faster-acting aspirin made.
But what exactly do you mean by fast-acting?
Well, ma'am, aspirin itself is too fine to hold together in tablet form. So it has to be bound with an ingredient that will quickly disintegrate, that is, break up the tablet. So the aspirin itself will immediately be free to do its job.
You mean the aspirin doesn't do any good until it's free from the tablet?
Right. And that's why Rexall scientists developed a binder so low in moisture content, it begins to break up the very second it touches water. Now that means that when swallowed with water, the aspirin in a Rexall tablet is free to go to work for you, even before it reaches your stomach.
Well, that's fast enough for me.
And it's fast enough for 10,000 family druggists. Quality like that is what we're talking about when we tell you. You can depend on any drug product that bears the name Rexall.
And now back to tonight's adventure with Richard Diamond, private detective, starring Dick Powell.
Finding Mrs. Campbell dead in the front seat was the ugly end of another beautiful day. I hadn't known the little gray-haired woman personally, but from her reputation, I had the hunch that some of this town's best charity groups would be in mourning come tomorrow. And just in case I wasn't feeling bad enough, Stuart was right in there to help me.
I never should have let you come. It's your fault she's dead. You did it.
Thank you, Sherlock Holmes. Now shut up.
You were going to protect me.
I slapped 5 fingers of artificial sunburn into his face and shut him up. Then I checked Mrs. Campbell's corpse. She'd been murdered at least 24 hours before. I lifted her featherweight body and stretched her out in the back seat. Ira was still rubbing his cheek when I pushed him into the car. Now, what about those two guys, Stuart? Oh, now I slapped you back there for your own good. Did you get a look at those guys?
It was too dark. One was big and heavy, the other was thin.
Could you identify them if you saw them again?
Yes, I think so. What's that on the road ahead? Someone's waving a light.
That's the police.
Just step from that car quietly, you.
Otis, it's me, Diamond.
Rick, aren't you? No sign of any kidnappers yet.
Not kidnappers, Walt. Murderers.
Huh?
Exhibit A is on the back seat.
Come on, Otis. Open the door. Vicious. Head bashed in.
What are the police doing here, Diamond? I thought...
Don't brag. You didn't think. Otherwise, you'd have gone straight to the police in the first place.
What about the money?
I don't care about the money. Mrs. Campbell is dead, and that's all that matters.
Well, I'm sorry about that, Mr. Stewart. Look, might be a good idea for you to be with your fiancée, Miss Campbell, before she hears the news on the radio. We'll take care of things here.
Oh. Yes, of course, Diane. I'm sorry, Lieutenant, about my behavior. You understand. And Mr. Diamond...
Oh, forget it. I've got a head that knows just how you feel. Once Stuart was gone, I gave Walt the lowdown and we settled down to work. We gave the two killers an hour to try a break. And then Walt passed a signal along to his men and the ring began to close in. We beat the bushes, turned lights on the trees, and kicked over rocks, even the small ones. But by the time we reached the payoff spot, we'd found nothing out but each other.
Now that's impossible. Are you men sure you didn't miss anything?
Double-checked all down the line, Lieutenant.
They couldn't have gotten through.
Take it easy, Walt. Time now for cool heads and dull little dragnets.
Otis, I want you to start picking up Muggs wholesale.
Right, Lieutenant.
Anybody who even thinks twice before he answers, bring him in. I want this town covered from the Harlem River to the Battery. Now do it.
Otis waddled away, and I drove back to police headquarters with Walt. Soon, Manhattan Island was tucked under a blanket of blue as the biggest police force in the world went to work. The next day, I took a stroll through Central Park for another look at the spot where Stuart and I had been slugged. I found one possible witness, but he wouldn't talk. Probably because he didn't know how. He happened to be an English sparrow. Late in the afternoon, I dropped back to see Walt. He was in his shirt sleeves, hunched over a desk piled high with notes, reports, and cigarette butts. Neither of us had gotten any sleep the night before, but he was advertising it.
Oh, Rick, I could kick myself. I ought to turn in my badge. We should have had those guys.
Nothing in the lineup?
No, I've been looking at drunks, ex-cons, and two-bit hoodlums all day, and they're all clean. If someone tried to sell me an Invisible Man routine, I'd be willing to listen.
Walt, if you keep banging your head against a stone wall, your eyes are going to register tilt. You need a breather on this case. Look, I got two tickets for a play tonight. What about it?
Are you kidding? I've got work to do.
Oh, but Walt, the play is a musical murder mystery. The cop on stage is bound to have more troubles than you.
Yeah, I bet. Well, maybe you're right. Sure, I'll go. Thanks, Rick.
I'm glad Walt didn't ask any more questions because my supply of answers was down to one sorry shrug. However, this last maneuver didn't go over too well on Park Avenue when I dropped in to tell Helen she was being stood up.
Rick Diamond, this time you've gone too far.
Now, would it help any if I said it was business?
No.
Well, I suppose there's nothing I can do.
I spent all day buying a new dress and getting my hair done, and then you walk in at the last minute and tell me you...
Oh, Helen, baby.
Now, you stay away from me, Rick. Rick, let go of me.
Now, in a minute.
Rick. You dog.
Walt was ready when I dropped in at the precinct and we took off to the theater. After the show was over, we meandered backstage to see my friends of the cast. Turned out to be an interesting evening. The next morning, I called up Ira Stewart from Levinson's office.
Yes?
Hello, Stewart. This is Diamond. I'm calling from the 5th Precinct Police Headquarters.
Anything turn up?
Well, it looks that way, yes. The police picked up two guys who may have killed Martha Campbell. Can you get on here right away?
Certainly, I'll leave right now.
Well, then run. Do not walk. When
When Stewart showed, we took him into the lineup room. The two suspects had their backs against the marked wall. Under the hot lights, they looked about as ugly as a draft notice on a honeymoon.
What do you think, Stewart?
They look like the men, Lieutenant.
We didn't do nothing.
This is the frame.
On you guys, it looks good. What do you want to do, live forever? Now, Stewart, these guys are Willie the Knife Foster and Bloody Bob Ferguson. They've been indicted on 3 kidnap raps, but always managed to get off. Now, if you recognize them, you're an eyewitness, and they're cooked.
Well, tell the big one to say, get him Bob.
Say it, Bob.
What for?
For the sake of your dear old mother in Alcatraz.
Never mind what for. Say it.
Get him, Bob.
Now the other.
You heard him, Ferguson.
Get him, Bob.
That's the man, Lieutenant. I'm sure of it. Let me get my hands on him. I'll kill him.
Now, Stewart, calm down. State of New York will take care of them.
This is a lousy frame. You can't pin this on us. He was babysitting that night.
Okay, lock him up, Otis.
Right.
Book him on suspicion of murder. Stewart, come into my office. I want to get your statement.
After getting his statement, Walt told Stewart the case was closed. We congratulated each other and shook hands all around. Then Stewart walked out. We gave him enough time to get into his car and start away. A moment later, Walt and I jumped into an unmarked police car and played follow the leader.
Rick, this case turned right side up too quick to suit me. What made you tag Stewart and plant your actor friends in the lineup?
Walt, the trouble with you is that you're too modest. You set an airtight man trap for 2 unknown kidnappers and then blame yourself because the net came up empty.
Well, he had you fooled, too.
That's true. I'm ashamed to admit. But Stewart had a good plan. He kidnaps the lady himself, sends Diane a phony ransom note. Then with a reputable private detective present, that's me, he gets the $50,000 and even bops himself in the head to make it look kosher.
You'd have made a perfect alibi for him, Rick. But where did the old lady's body come from?
He probably had it in the car trunk when we drove into the park the night of the supposed payoff.
Hey, he's turning at the park.
Mm-hmm. Soon comes the part we don't know yet.
We should have nabbed him back at the station. I'd like to sweat him for a few hours.
On what? The identification? So he claims it was a mistake. Could happen. The jury would think so. No, Walt. He's put on too big an act to fold under questioning. He's been acting ever since he made Diane believe he loved her, just to gain Martha Campbell's confidence.
He's parking up ahead.
Yeah. Now let him answer the $50,000 question. And where did he hide it?
He's heading toward that same grove of trees.
We took off at a fast trot until we reached a hedge not too far from where we expected to find Stewart. We saw him all right. He was standing around right under the same tree he'd led me to a couple of nights back. A family of picnickers were close by, so he was acting like a guy out for some air. We ducked behind the hedge to watch, though I had to hold Walt back a few times. Finally, Stewart tipped his hand. He reached up past the nest of my sparrow friend into a hollow of the tree. It wasn't eggs he was after. The stuff he pulled out had that fascinating color known as currency green.
That's enough for me, Rick. Okay, Stewart.
Duck, Walt.
Are you hurt, Walt?
Yeah. One of his shots creased my shin. Hurts like blazes, though. Let's get that guy.
He's running for the zoo. I'll get him, Walt. Put a tourniquet around your neck and sit tight.
Oh, watch out for the crowd, Rick.
What the shooting did to that crowd, a skunk couldn't do in a bargain basement. They suddenly decided there was no place like home. Stewart was dodging between the animal cages now and still using his gun to discourage me. I sprinted after him, but he disappeared. That bullet went right through my only hat, but I saw him now. He was climbing along the rock barrier that backed up the bear pits. He made a lousy target because those jagged rocks and overhanging ledges gave him plenty of cover. He was trying to reach the road on the other side, and if I didn't do something about it, exit, Mr. Stewart. I took aim. My shot clipped a hunk of rock just as he was reaching for it. Stewart pulled back too quickly and tried to step on some air, which never does work too well. He went over and down. He never hit the ground because down in that pit, waiting for him with open arms, was a giant polar bear that had never forgiven the man who brought him from Alaska to New York.
Hello,
the cast party.
Thanks, Bob. Thanks also for the great acting job you and Willie pulled off at police headquarters.
Oh, anytime, Rick. Glad to help out.
Yeah, that's a nice tune. Is that a song for the show?
Nah, just fooling around. After a show flops, there's nothing like a little get-together to bolster one's spirits.
Well, I certainly like the taste of your bolster. So I'll mix myself another later.
Rick, what are you doing by the piano, as if I didn't know? You don't want to look bad in front of all this talent, do you?
Oh, honey, not a chance. Just happens that Bob's playing around in my key.
Well, let's do it.
Let's do it, then. Count every star in a midnight sky. Count every rose, every firefly. For that's how many times I miss you. Heaven knows I miss you. Count every leaf on a willow tree. Count every wave on a stormy sea. Count every star, and darling, when you do, you know the times I have cried for you. Thank you. I'm sorry, but due to previous commitments, I'm only available for stage, screen, radio, television, and parade.
Rick, you are becoming a ham.
Me? Becoming a ham? Oh, my dear. Really?
Again, here's your Rexall Family Druggist.
If you suffer from acid indigestion, remember that Bismarex often neutralizes excess acidity in less than 1 minute. But more than that, Bismarex gives relief that's continuous and prolonged. Its scientifically balanced ingredients work in sequence, easing gastric distress and leaving a soothing, protective covering on irritated stomach membranes. Ask your Rexall druggist for Bismarex. He'll tell you you can depend on any drug product that bears the name Rexall.
Good health to all from Rexall. Richard Diamond, Private Detective, stars Dick Powell in the title role and is written by Joe Moorheim and Hal Bloom, with music composed and conducted by Frank Wirth. Featured in tonight's cast were Virginia Gregg, Ted DiCorsia, Wilms Herbert, Mary Shipp, Dick Ryan, and Hi Averback. Richard Diamond, Private Detective, is produced and directed by Jaime Del Valle. This is Bill Forman inviting you to be with us next Wednesday at this time when we will again bring you Dick Powell as Richard Diamond, Private Detective. Incidentally, Dick's turned writer this week. Pick up a copy of the August issue of Radio Mirror from your dealer tomorrow. Read The Adoption Racket by Dick Powell.
You beautiful.
Get lost, Bristlepuss. You need a shave.
But I have shaved. What else do you want me to do?
Silly boy, she wants you to go Stag.
Go Stag? But why?
Because Stag is Rexall's exclusive line of men's good grooming aids, like Stag Brushless Shave Cream. No fuss, no massage, just smooth it on, and presto, you get a clean, close shave. Your face stays smooth and whiskerless all day long.
I'll do it. Go Stag.
That's it. Join the Stag line now at Rexall drugstores everywhere.
Yes. To make girls care, go Stag.
Sarah Berner will delight you with Sarah's Private Caper tomorrow on NBC.
Thank you for tuning in to the Old Time Radio Hour. Next week, we will bring you more of our tribute to Dick Powell. Until then, I'm Justine Ward, your host, saying so long for now.